day after day, turn this near. Men's hearts are feeling for fear. Be filled with the Spirit, your lamps demand fear. Look up, your redemption is near. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. We know, Lord, our redemption is near, Lord, and because the time is ending fast. We thank you for this day once again that we can gather, Lord, and fellowship one way or another, even through the cyber space, O Lord, and different ones in different places. For we ask that, Lord, your Spirit, the blood of Jesus Christ, the blood of life that is in Him that was shed for us, that Spirit of life, the scarlet thread, O Lord, and circle us, Father, and may the circle be not broken, Father. Let every one of us be bind together, Lord, in that family of Christ. And let us come together, Lord, in love, in truth, O Father. And as we gather together, Lord, worshipping and fellowshipping, O Lord, and hearing thy word in spirit and in truth, do we come before thee right now, Father. That, Lord, you open our heart and our spirit, O Lord, as to the word of us to the Holy Word, Lord, and to what we are expecting, O Lord, it's ahead of us. So, Father, we ask for your blessing, O Lord, touch us, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. I'm trying to get my connection right. I hope that my connection up here is not messed up. All right. The economy, of course, in the world we are living today, it's a mess, and many nations are struggling. Prices of things are rising, and in America, you know, I was told that the trucks are not moving, and the ships are out there in the ocean off the coast of their seaport because there are no workers, no truckers to load them and to bring them to the city and to wherever they should, or those goods should be going. And, well, that's what we are going through now. I want to touch on this subject this morning. Of course, the time is ending. Let's go to the book of Genesis chapter 6, verse 13. Things that we all know very well, but I just want to, well, just again, as I said, this bring to your memory, lest you forget. Genesis 6, 13. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. 1 Peter 4, 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be you therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Now here was the Old Testament verse and the New Testament verse. But I want to take this one word here in the verse in Genesis. The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Now I want to say that which is so true back in the days of Noah. The violence of man, you know, has caused two problems. One, they destroy themselves. Secondly, in their destruction of, you know, against one another, the earth was also destroyed. Well, we say God destroyed by the flood. That's one way to say it. But when men, we look at men today, nations are breaking. And Israel is awakening. Yeah, we see this on the horizon. And we see nations are fighting against each other. And we see things are going on that many nations, many citizens of those nations are awakening to what's going on. And they are protesting. When men are having violence one against another, they also destroy the earth because of the economy. Tell one country, they said to another country, you need to cut down your carbon, you know, footprint, you should cut it down. You're using too much of those fossil fuels. You're destroying the earth. You are creating all this global warming. But those, the nation that is being attacked by the country who blame it on them, they are just going ahead and perhaps, you know, cut logging. More loggings in the forest. Digging and going from coal, looking for gas, whatever it is, destroying the environment. And then another country will blame the first country. You and your chemical, you and your technology, look what it has brought about. Destroying the earth as well. That is very true. Because you know what, when I did a research and study and found out, oh my, some, I don't know how many years back in the southern state of America, was a nice place, and they have this kind of, then they have some kind of festivity and some kind of a celebration, and they bring in all the attraction. And it went on for some weeks, and then later on, well, they dismantled a lot of waste with that, and garbage were there, so they decided to get rid of it. How to get rid of it? So they dig a hole, big hole, and put out all the garbage and start to, you know, create a fire to burn it out. And what happened was it that they didn't know what happened. Underneath they were gassed. And now the fire is still raging underneath. And that's very true. In America, I read about history, how that those, you know, factories and chemical plant, the toxic waste, they went to some place and dispose of it. Just like here in Singapore, we have some people that dispose of some waste in some forested area. They pollute the earth. They couldn't care because they need the money. Economy, money. Yes. And this is the problem today. Let us look at this chart. We have been on this chart years ago. We have done a study about the prophecy. I want just make you to recall. Look at the quotation which was taken from the book of Isaiah, chapter 21, verse 11 to 12. Isaiah was the watchman. He was the prophet, prophesying against Duma, the people of Esau. A man came and asked, watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? And the watchman replied, said, the morning cometh, and also the night. Now we take this and we have studied. If we are in the last church age, and we are in the Laodicea church age, and you know Brother Branham took the year 1906. Yeah, I agree with 1906 because there 1903, 1906, 1909, when the Spirit, the Holy Spirit was poured out, you know, for what we call the blessing that God has in the last day. So 1906 was a great outpouring. It has been taken, 1906 was the greater outpouring, Pentecostal outpouring. So if we were to take 1906 and we take that as in the book of Genesis chapter 6 where God said, my spirit will no longer strive with man, his days shall be 120 years. So if a man can live up to 120 years, that will be a generation. A generation is not 50 years, not 70 years, not 80 years in that sense. Unless you're related to a certain period of time. But in God's generation, it will have to be 120 years. A man could live up to that age. And we find out, of course, I think if I'm not mistaken, the oldest man that is still alive is 114 today. You know? And There are many in Japan, they live to more than 100, 100, or 300, or 100, or 2, like that. So, it will take 120 years for this church age to end. But Abraham did not know when Christ would come. 1906 to when would the church age close? But if it would take 120 years, as we have been on this subject before, and we break up into four watches, okay? The evening watch after 6 p.m. to 9, and then from midnight, 9 to 12 p.m. is known as midnight or 12 a.m. From 12 a.m. is the darkest night to 3 a.m. And from 3 a.m. to 6 a.m., this is called the two evenings. It is called the morning time. Now, if we look at what we have in the chart, we realize then that in 1933, Brother Abraham gave the seventh vision. Remember, he came, he was where the Lord gave him this commission. As John the Baptist was sent with the forerun, the first coming of Christ, so were you sent with the message to forerun the second coming of Christ. Alright, so that's why we have this message in Matthew 25. Now, if you have forgotten the message, you can still go on to the website and read, the coming of Christ. Alright, so we have the midnight cry. Brahman says, King, after he was given the commission, and the midnight cry really started from 1953 to 1965. There was all this message of Brahman start heating up, calling the people to come back to the world. And that fulfilled Matthew 25. And now we have, each period of the watch is 30 years, or 3 hours. So now in 1966 to 1996, that's a 30 years period, we have, when those have heard the message, will go into the kupa, enter into the marriage feast. The marriage. And then we know the wise, they are in there. The foolish, they are still on the outside, still looking for oil. Alright, so I put up the chart here, you can see the kupa. Inside is the day star, my beloved is mine. That's why we come into the Word of God. Alright, I want you to know this. The kupa is the place where the bridegroom and the bride joined together to be made ready as a wife. The bride will be inside the kupa with the bridegroom, and there they have the intimacy where the bride will become wife. But on the outside there is no light. Outside there is a great darkness. The crow are crowing. And sometimes cock crow in a very strange way. It's not 6 a.m. in the morning, they crow sometime at 2 a.m. They're just all this crazy crow. Cockroaches that crow anytime they like, and so it's like a false prophet crowing false doctrine. Alright, false preacher, liar, deceiver, wandering star, they are out there. And so the morning cometh, and as the watchman said when he was asked, watchman, watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning come, and the night will follow. And that is very true. We are now in what year we are? We are now in the year 2021. So if you were to take 120 years and add to 1906, you will end up with 2026. Now the question is that we are looking at this chart and we are looking at this period. How long will Christ tarry? Or will he go beyond 120 years? If he go beyond 120 years, then most of us will probably pass away. But I'm looking at Israel as a fig tree. Because Jesus Christ said, behold the fig tree and all other trees that follows, that blooms. And if you know fig tree represent Israel, all the other trees represent the other nations. Israel became independent in 48. Many nations that were under the Commonwealth, British Commonwealth, break away and became independent, stopped becoming the blossom. And Isaiah said, this generation who see this fig tree, they will not pass away. So that is to say that if Israel coming out of darkness, coming out of slavery as they were in Egypt, and they were going to the promised land. They traveled. And yet, many of them died in the wilderness because of their disobedience, their murmuring. So what is a generation then? And that's when Moses gave a song. And when he said that, when they left Egypt in a trial and tribulation to get there, the people were murmuring all that. But yet God gave the sustenance that even those many die at the age of 70. And even by strength, some will live up to 80 and then they will die. So if we have 70 to 80, it's a period where these folks who have seen their experience all the hardship. Remember this. If you can live up to 70 or 80, that means that you left Egypt at what age? 38 years old or 40 years old. You are the one that experienced in your prime of life in Egypt the hardship. But those who are below 20, they probably are a toddler, they are a teenager. What did they experience? You know, like here in Singapore, we are the pioneer generation. The people like me, we experienced the hardship out there. I was born in 48. You know, so now I'm 73. 2 more months or so, I'll be 74. Will I live to be 80 years old? Like the children of Israel, and many of those who experienced hardship, left Egypt. In fact, actually, you know, I left the denomination in 1971. I was 33 years old. I have been in this Word of God, this truth, for 50 years. I have been a child of God for 60 years. And I have experienced hardship to understand what it is like. So now, well, my body is aging. But mine is not anyway. That's one thing about God's miracle. The body is aging, but the mind is not. Even though the brain is aging, but the mind is not. Of course, unless something goes wrong, you get dementia. And then you don't even, I wouldn't know my name, nor your name. But the thing is, will Christ come? Huh? 1948, you add 70 years. It's already passed, right? If you add 80 years, what year would that be? Huh? 2028. That's right. 2028. Would that go to be past 1906? You see, we are looking at time span. I believe the time is ending. If Christ were to go beyond 2026 or 2028, you see, then we will have Israel, we have a lot of old men who have seen the fig tree, and many of the those who have seen the fig tree at that time, or those who are born in that year, like me, if Christ comes later than that, we'll all have passed away. But Jesus Christ said, this generation of people, this generation means not a generation of years. The Greek word is genia means the people, the generation of that people. They will certainly not all pass away. I don't know whether I'll pass away. But I'm waiting to see the coming of the Lord. Alright. So the end is near. Let us go to the book of Matthew 24. We're going through this book of Matthew 24. Matthew chapter 24. And here we have in this chapter, or we all know very well, I have done to deal with it. And you can read it in the book, The Coming of Christ, the laid out of these. Now, there are four gospels, and we all know the four gospels. And all the four Gospels, they wrote from the perspective of how they look at Christ. And God had anointed the four Gospel writers. And they are only out of four Gospel writers. And I hope you all understand that and you know that. Out of the four Gospel writers, not all of them are the 12 disciples. Mark and Luke, both of them, they were not disciples of Christ. They were not of the 12, so to speak. So each one of them wrote differently. Matthew wrote about him, Jesus Christ has what? The lion, the king. Alright? Mark wrote about him what as? As the, come on, the sacrificial lamb or the bull. Luke wrote about Christ as what? The Son of Man, humanity. And John wrote about him, about divinity. You know, each different perspective. So we are looking at this one right here. Now in chapter 24 here we know. Look at it here. Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and the disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see you not of these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that they shall not be thrown down. And then he went up and sat upon the mount of Olives, and the disciples came unto him privately, so there were no other people around, him only and his disciples. And the disciples asked him, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And this is the only place that was written by Matthew. Three questions here. The other only show and missed out one important one, which is the sign of thy coming. Then Jesus answered him and said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of war, see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. How we all know this? There's wars and rumors of war. Not in our day, this prophecy or this words of Christ already started after he passed away. The disciples, the Christians were persecuted. And there were always wars and then rumors of war for one country and another. But look at verse 7. For nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquake. Now in the book of Matthew, just for your information, the book of Matthew in King James, or the King James, alright, do you find that the word and pestilences in your scripture? Let me just read it. For nation shall rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famine and pestilences and earthquake in diverse places. But in fact, the word and pestilences is not in the original, in the book of Matthew. Alright? And pestilences is not in the original, in the book of Matthew. How do they creep into that? Well, most likely, you know, you'll find it in the book of Luke. And you will have the word and pestilences added in. Perhaps somebody read it and then somehow in the old time when they translate and they just remember a certain gospel being written that way. So they add the word and pestilences. But so, the word personally is not in the original, but it is found in the book of Luke 21, verse 11. So, Matthew do not have it, but Luke have it. You know. So that shows one thing, that there is no contradiction. To many people, that there is a contradiction. No. To Matthew, he wrote what God wants him to write. Okay? And the same thing that we know about the three questions. You find out about the three questions that the book of Mark, Luke do not have these three questions. They only have two. So it depends on how the law wants it to be written. Alright, let's go on and continue. Just that for your information. Verse 8. All these are the beginning of sorrow. That was back at the time when he builds up. Then shall they be deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. And that is so true here. Betray one another. Back in those days, a Christian will betray another Christian. Because why? He is being threatened by some authority. And this Christian just want to care about his life, and he would betray other Christian. Yeah, there are certain people gather in this home for fellowship, you know, and things like that. Oh, I have been, you know, as I told you this in the past, what happened? People, you know, demon denomination spread around saying that, you know, we are a cult. Back in those days, back in the 70s, 72, 73, 74, up to the end of 79, I was being, denomination spread from the Assembly Hall to the Presbyterian, because I know the Presbyterian people, and you know, other Christians, and they say, oh, you're a cult. I said, yeah, I'm a cult. You know, but I said, I'm a Jesus cult. I'm a Bible cult. What about you? You're the Presbyterian cult. I don't find it in the Bible. Or you're the Baptist cult. But what is a cult? So you see it. People will persecute you because you are not of the same with them. They consider us because we don't believe in the Trinity. Many people out there believe the Trinity to be one important doctrine that they must believe. Well, here we have in verse 11, and many false prophets shall arise and shall deceive many. Alright, let's go to look at this image. So look at this image. This was sent to me about 3 or 4 weeks back by someone, you know, and these have been to inform, this church is in Ghana. They are informing people about a tent meeting. And the place out there is called Leati Wote. Now, see what it says right here. The Lord has chosen a place in the Wote region to put His name there. Thus, Leati Wote, it is for all Bible believers across the world. It is going to be revealing the entire scripture, making it manifest in power. God has chosen His 7 eyes, which are His 7 spirit, in whom He will reveal to manifest His power. I want to give you a hint. I want to give you a hint. Okay, it's a hint. The last revival all believers across the world are expecting for the rapturing faith is starting in Ghana. Ghana is the nation that God has chosen to lead this great revival. Many people would doubt this and see that and see it to be impossible. But it is solidly on thus saith the Lord. Now, that's what it's a prophecy. I repeat, it is solidly on thus saith the Lord. The thus saith the Lord is not through me, but through the one He is visiting for some years. Look, anyone who has not touched, said the Lord, but to pretend to have it, has said anything which is not from God, has spoken against God, or spoken blasphemy against God, and such a person shall perish in hellfire. Because it is from God to make His name known again in the wide world, the program will be announced at the Voters Star. Lolion Yo, whatever they play, Ho Ho. And Angola Quiti, I think that must be Farm, I don't know. The announcement starts from the end of the month. Now there was, they already have this meeting, I guess, in October 22, 23, 24. Let me say this. Anybody who put up such thing and say it's Tassel or what is making a fool of himself. Can anybody tell me just by what one statement is said here? And it is not true. Just only one statement. You should know. The one statement that is so clear and glaring that tells me the whole thing is a big lie. The whole thing is a deception. The whole thing is the person who put it out or the person who wants to be that somebody has got his mind blow up to make himself somebody. That statement is the very first line. What does he say? The Lord has chosen a place in the water region to put his name there. Tell me. We know that God never changes his mind about his word. Is that right? Amen. Why is the place that God put his name? Where? In Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? It's the place where the light will come out. It is the place God, Christ, will sit to judge. It is the throne of His glory. It is the place where people gather to worship, right? It's not in Samaria. It is in Jerusalem. God has put His name there. For who? When He took, it's not for the whole world, not for the Gentile. It's for Israel because He chose them. And He put His name in Jerusalem. Israel. I want you to listen carefully. Israel, the family of God. God has chosen the people. And right in there, Jerusalem, is where He put His name. People will go there and worship God. He has put His name there. Now, tell me, if you have a natural Israel, you have to have a spiritual Israel. Well, we have some preachers that don't believe in that. Because though they don't see that, they just want to make themselves somebody and disagree. If there is a natural Israel, there is a spiritual Israel. Because why? Israel natural is natural. But there is a people that are spiritual. They are chosen of God. Just like God has chosen Abraham to have a nation out of him called Israel. But God has chosen out of this world a people. His chosen people. Right? The church. The church. And so where did God put his name? Now you tell me. No. In the church, where did God put his name? In physical Israel, God put his name in Jerusalem. The nation of Israel, right in the midst of them, Jerusalem. God put his name there. And the whole church of God, not Israel, the church of God, spiritual Israel, where did God put his name? There is a place that God has chosen and he has put his name. If you are forgotten, you ought to be shot. This is the place. He has put his name there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was made manifest. In that place, the chosen place of God's worship is in Christ Jesus, the name. When you associate with Christ, you associate with the anointed Word. And the place that we gather together to come and worship Him is around His Word. Around His Word. When we gather around His Word, and that's why we gather in His name. There's only one place God has put His name. And that's in the Word of God. Huh? You understand? Got it? Because the Holy City is His throne. Yet the Holy City is what we are. There's always a center place that where he put his name, and that is in his own word. So you see this, we are false prophet. The Bible clearly tells us that this is just an example. If you go onto the YouTube, well, Sister Jenny Piper, you know, send it. send me a link. When I send that out to hear her, and she says, oh, my cousin, Catholic cousin, you know, send me the same thing. And I look at what it was in YouTube, was this Catholic woman who put out, you know, YouTube, and saying that a certain priest called the father has had a certain vision, angel visit him, or the Catholic woman, you know, how that Jesus spoke to him, or Mary spoke to her, and say that, you know, what's about the pandemic, about this, and what's coming upon the world, and that they should have shelter and store up food, because the worst thing is about to come. Well, we have all kinds of prophets out there in the world. And we have all kinds of prophets right in this anti-message movement. Oh, yeah. You know, Sister Piper also sent me a link to where an article was written. And he said, oh my, now I understand what the apostolic truth is. We are supposed to come back to the apostolic word, the apostolic foundation, but what is it? It's the thing that the apostle taught, that's true. But what about the Old Testament? You see, if you look at Paul's teaching, you find that there is always consistency. That's why I said this. An apostolic teaching must have consistency from Genesis all the way to Revelation. If there is no consistency, then it isn't apostolic truth. God has not forsaken his people. But we are in a world that is so messed up. What is going to happen? Maybe, well, right now in this condition that we have, and Brother Pratsi was one thing, as you know, he testified how that he missed fellowship, physical fellowship. He couldn't come here because he only allowed two people to visit the home. Yeah? Would this measurement continue until the end of the year? Just to protect the unvaccinated? And to me, the unvaccinated need no protection. Let me tell you this. In the Old Testament, when God sent out the plague, people are afraid, of course. But why did God send out the plague? To judge those that need to be judged. And those who will not need to be judged will not be judged. Do you understand? And there are even cases now in Africa and India that there are people who have TB, tuberculosis has resurfaced in some places. Ebola is still there. Malaria and dengue is always there. You know, when I was in Africa, when I was preaching there, some of the brothers, I see, came into the fellowship. People were singing. And the brother would be standing there singing like this. You understand what I'm saying? He's having fever. He got malaria. And I found that malaria to many of them is so common. And they didn't die. But if I were to get malaria there, I would have a hard time surviving. Do you know what I'm saying? Because in Africa, they grew up with malaria. Many children, they got it in the early stage. And they bear resistance. You see. So, in America, as you know, in winter comes, tens of thousands of people die in that 3 months of winter. But they are not all Americans die. So the thing is this, God knows them that are His. So if I'm afraid, then I lock my door. I won't go out. I would have food delivery. Huh? But I think one thing is so true. There's still a lot of Christians that are so fearful. We don't live a life in fear. Because ahead of us something is coming that might, that is worse than COVID-19. And there have been all this crazy news that goes out. Somebody, I got this text messages, and you know, you can see this text message, they put it quite nicely, you know. That the Chinese, meaning China, are already cooking up another virus worse than the COVID-19, and it's going to come out in November. Whoa. Where did it come from? It come from America. They hit the Chinese, so they say this from the Chinese. This COVID-19 is from Chinese. They cook it up, they make it. Well, you know, we don't know what's ahead. But the Bible tells about pestilences. Even though the word is not in Matthew, we read it all in Luke. Pestilence. What pestilence is? They are pests. And the COVID-19 is a pest. It's a nuisance. And this is what we expected. And we have famines. We are all quit. There's no end to it. Alright? Okay, now. Well, let us continue reading that. Verse 12. And because iniquity shall abound, sin will abound, unbelief, godlessness, the love of many shall grow cold. Oh, yeah. You know, I don't know. I know that there are some Christians that I know, they have given up the faith. There are many reasons why they give up the faith. Especially in this end time message. When I came to it in 71, I saw what was going on. I know some people out there in the other churches. More than 100 people that I know of, about 100, 120 or something like that. And the church began to split. And over a few years, some of those people are no longer around. Right. And there was so much of the, what we call, squabble, friction between family members and one another. And, you know, there was a young believer at that time, and when she learned this truth, met her and asked her, you know, are you still following the faith? And he said, what faith? Well, you know, I'm still following Jesus. Who is Jesus? Sarcastically and asking, who is Jesus? What do you remember here say? Verse 12. Because iniquity shall abound, the love of many wax cold. Many of them have gone back to the system, have gone back to the world. Jesus, who is Jesus? Oh yeah, I enjoyed when I was there in the church and the sing and dance. It was fun, you know. Good to socialize the people. But nah, it just one of those religion. It's good while it lasts. But now I'm old, forget about it. We are in the condition of the world that the Bible here talks about. Verse 13. But he that endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. So you see, people don't run the race. No, they don't run the race. Oh, maybe they get tired. I understand. Well, the children of Israel left Egypt. The younger one, the stronger one will walk and walk far. And those at the back, the weak one. And that's why the Egyptian was going after the weak one. The Amorites also were going after the weak one. Behind. Well, we need to not to drag our feet. We need to show that we are alive in Christ. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached to all the world for the witness to all nations. And then shall the end come. And we see there's a lot of that going on today. People are really preaching that. Verse 21, and after that So God, tribulation, such as sin is not the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those that be shortened, there shall no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, that they shall be shortened. Alright. Now, this is just one condition. The Bible talks about this violence that we read in the book of Genesis. Man against man, politicians, they argue and they fight. Now we have this meeting right now in Rob, COP 26, the global warming issue. COP 26. So what is this COP 26? Huh? The convention of the party. They're getting together to talk about the global warming. This is the 26th year, 26th time. You know, in the paper, I think the other day, and even today the news was out, in what they have discussed, yep, you know, our temperature on the earth has increased. You know how many percent, how many degrees? Almost 1.5 degree. Yes, gone up to almost 1.5 degree. And they are worried that if it hit 2 degree, then we have problem. We really, really have problem. And so what did they say in the discussion? Let us try to keep it at that 1.5 and let it not go beyond. Wow! You cannot lower it down? No wonder Greta Thunberg protest and say all they do is blah 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 blah. They gather together and they blah 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 blah. Do you understand me, brother, sister? When they gather together, they just blah 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 blah. You blah, I blah, and everybody blah. In the end, what? Do they solve anything? Nothing. They'll point hand and say, "You should do this." They don't have a point hand to the nation. You should do that. So the question is, would the COP 26, would there be a deal? Would there be a deal? And you know what the president of China said? Interestingly, let me just read what he said. When he was there, on October 20, at the UN, it was 25th October, last week, he said this: no one country or bloc can detect international rule. Quote, let me quote to him his exact word. International rules can only be set jointly by all 193 United Nations members. This cannot be left to the decision of only one single country or bloc. International rules should be jointly observed by all 193 UN members. There can be and should not be any exception. You know who is he speaking about? Huh? The policeman of the world. The nation that has always wanted to be the policeman. Say this, you do it. I say this, you do it. That's what is going on. The violence of mankind today, when I say violence, don't think about they're talking about war and all this. Violence of mankind is a political violence. They say it just a religious violence. Like today in the paper, I think a few days ago, who is this Malays, rappers who sing song that when Yonah was arrested and because he was, the word that he used was against another religion, right? Against another ethnic group. That should not be the case. But that is a violence. You create hatred. You know hatred is a violence? When you hate somebody so much, it's right in here. Yeah. That's what it is. Just as I was called so many names by different ones. You know. First, they call me brother. Next woman, Because he doesn't agree what I say. He call me a heretic. So he has a brother for heretics. Or heretics for a brother, I would say. And then another woman, he said, I'm possessed by Satan. You see, the hatred because you think that you have the truth. Let me tell you this. He that have the truth, hold his peace. He that have the truth, live that life. We are not like some religious bigots or religious obscene person who said, take off the arm, take off the machete, and cut off the person's head. And this is what we saw back in the 4th century. And all the way to the, you know, for 1,500 years. Right. And for the first 900 years up there, in the Roman Holy Roman Empire, how many Christians, how many people died who are not even Christian because they will not bow down to the beast? That's true. So the violence of mankind upon the earth, what happened? It created problems. So we get people polluting the earth with the chemical pollution. They pour all those in the earth, in the soil, and in the water. And so what happened? It damaged the earth. Let's go back to Genesis. Let's look at the violence that happened. The first violence that happened. Who killed who? Cain killed Abel. Right? So in his violence, all because it's a religious differences, so to speak. Right? Because Abel had the revelation, he offered the best of his flock. And Abel, he offered the best of his farm, thing that he had produced with his hand, to toy. Cain, sorry. What who did I say? Abel. Oh, so sorry. Let me correct that. Cain, using his hand, labored so hard, toying in the sweat of his brow. And he produced the best and biggest pumpkin, grapefruits, grapes, and whatever he had in the field, the farmland of his. And he brought to the Lord God and he offered it. But Abel, he didn't toy. All he had was the sheep, the goat, whatever, and just bring them out to the pasture and just let them graze. And he took the best of it and offered to God. And God had favor with Abel. But the Cain, no. And so Cain got upset. He got very upset. Even God gave him a sacrifice. He said, look, there's a sin offering. Take it and offer it. No. He walked away from God. He turned his head away from God. Let me tell you this, brothers. Never, never turn your head or your face from God. You know, if God speaks to you, forgive that brother. Forgive that sister. Because of your anger, because of the thing that your brother or the sister have done to you, you turn your head, your face away from them. Like in the past, in the 1970s, you know, after I found what's going on out in that church, it's not worth going there just to hear what all those visiting ministers have to offer. And we all about ourselves, and what do I get? What did I get? I get all the spurning and all the, oh my. You won't believe, walking down the road or the pavement on the sidewalk, and you saw a brother coming from that church. And he looked at you, he know he saw you. Waving to him, he saw you, he turned around and walked away. Not wanting to walk where he was supposed to go past me so that I could shake his hand. No. Wow. And this was what the pastor of the Assembly of God did to me. Just because I blame Brother Branham. And I'll go up there and greet him in the presence of his another associate minister who I guess came from Hong Kong or from Taiwan. They were in the warehouse at Pasir Panjang wholesale. They were looking at the durian, picking up the durian. And I was there, I passed by him, I looked at him, I called up to him and put out a hand to shake his hand. He looked at me, he looked down, he couldn't care less. And his associate minister was looking at him, wondering what's going on. And I just greet the other man and I just said, have a good day. Wow. I have become an enemy. And what did Jesus say to the disciples when they found that there were others that were preaching the gospel, right? And what did Jesus say? He said, those that is not against us is for us. Is that right? Baptists out there, the Presbyterian out there, the Charismatic, they preach the gospel, yeah. Call them brothers. No problem. You know. But we have people like that. And so what then? Cain spurned God. When a person spurns God, it means that he is very upset. When he is upset, when Cain becomes upset with that God did not accept his sacrifice, and his mind is all that emotion. I worked so hard with my hand, and all for the best, and yet he will not accept. He looked downcast. Look down. He never look up. You know, when we talk to God, we look up. But we always look down on the floor when we pray. You know? So he went to the field and Abel was there. You know, whatever started a conversation, could be anything that started a conversation. Could be that Abel said, hi. And he probably being sarcastic, why is hi? Why hi? You know how people react? If you think that your sacrifice is better than mine because God accepted it? You know, Abel probably come and say, well, you know, I just did what I know was right. What do you mean to say you're right? I'm wrong. You know how people said? That's violence. That's true. That's violence coming up. Never the revelation said, you know, I believe God will provide to you for you. Don't tell me that! The violent rises up. And next moment, in his anger, he killed him. What happened next? The Bible here already, book of Genesis 6:13 tells us that. The earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. The earth is being destroyed even to this day. So Cain killed Abel and Cain buried Abel 6 feet underground, so to speak. What happened? God saw everything. And the blood of Abel cries out! For what? For revenge? No. The blood of Abel was not crying out for revenge. They were crying out, the life is gone. We are finished. Abel has no progeny. Do you understand? The blood. And God says, because you have done this, you are violent. You have destroyed another man. I will curse this earth. And God cursed it. And he said, no, henceforth bring forth the strength. And that's when Cain realized how great a punishment he will receive when populations build up. The people that will grow up will want to kill him. Violence begat violence. It's all about economy. It's all about power. And today we are seeing what it is. What happened in the days up there, in the days of Noah? Or even earlier in the days, what Cain did? Today, it's worse than ever. There is no end to this violence. And because of that earth being destroyed, now people are doing worse things. And in fact, in history, the people, the powerful men will kill people just to grab their land. Or they'll just pour chemical anywhere they like. And the earth is destroyed. The earth is prevailing. And when the earth is prevailing, see what happens? When the earth is destroyed, there is drought because there's imbalance. The earth is quaking. The volcanic eruption. There are sinkholes appearing. Have you seen some of the sinkholes? It's just a disaster. All of a sudden, a sinkhole builds up, came under, and whole structure of the building will just sink into the ground. Or you people are traveling on the road, and suddenly in front, a sinkhole appears, and the car plunges into it. Why? What is happening? The earth is crying out to be delivered, just like the progeny of Abel. That's true. You know permafrost? You know what permafrost is? You know, out there in the northern part of the hemisphere, it is said, I think, I don't know 100% out there in the northern, in the lower hemisphere is less, but the total percentage of the earth that contains permafrost is about 11%. It does not the top, not only it's 0 degrees Celsius, it's not just on the top of the surface, but it can go down to several kilometers. And these permafrosts are now slowly eroding away. And when they erode, you know what happened? Methane gas from the center of the earth is coming up. I saw you talk about this global warming. And do you know that our sea level is rising? Yes. And some area in the lake is sinking. Look at this. This is in the paper. I don't think that you probably have seen it. No, it's... Okay, can you see it? Ah, oh, that's interesting, isn't it? The salt stream. Now, this is the Dead Sea. And people are walking on, well, interestingly, huh? They're walking on salt. A strip of salt, they can walk on it. And do you know what's happening? The level and the water in that Dead Sea is receding. It's not receding, it's what you call lowering down. What happened? Where did the water go? Huh? And the ocean is, water level in the ocean is coming up because of the permafrost. So the earth is prevailing and something is happening to this earth. And that's why we believe that one day, as we know, the earthquake will happen. Something is going to happen. You know, when a permafrost starts to erode away, break up, there will be global warming because of the methane. But you know what? When the gas is coming out, there's a lot of microbes, a lot of germs or bacteria and viruses floating out. Well, that's what's happening. Interestingly, we're living today and we have the Pope. Now the G20 is in Rome. And Joe Biden what do you call the Indian Prime Minister Modi is there, they all go and have a talk with the Pope and Pope Francis. And Pope Francis is a Jesuit. Was the first. He was a Jesuit priest and he would now become the first Jesuit Pope. And so what do you think he is doing? He has an agenda, obviously. You know. Alright, so I will stop here today. I don't want to continue, and I will continue next week. I don't want to go too long into that. But Matthew 24 is certainly the chapter that we should understand that it is coming to pass. More so in our day, I don't think that you can say that some of this prophecy is yet to be fulfilled. They are all there, but only that it is coming to that end. And we sang that song, Nation are breaking, Israel is awakening. And that song is so very true, being written, of course, according to the scripture. And the question right now is how close we are to the coming of the Lord. How close are we to the coming of the Lord? Will this COVID-19 continue? Nations are now opening up, some countries are opening up for travels. Some countries that come to Singapore are required to have quarantine. And those who are going to Malaysia also the same. So every country has its own measurement. And human beings are such that the citizens tend to believe their government. And they believe their government as if they are gods. Of course. Everyone trying to do the best what they can. But we are living in the world that's so messy. And basically the first important thing people are looking at, or every country are looking at, is the economy. And many countries are in debt. Many countries are now in a recession. Food prices has gone up. Food prices have gone up. And many of the things that you want to buy, your problem will not find in the supermarket. Or perhaps the stocks are delayed. The world has changed a lot, and I pray that every one of us be very watchful and prayerful as to the coming of the Lord. May the Lord bless every one of you. Gracious Father, thank you, Lord, for your grace. I thank you, Father, for caring for every one of us. Let your faith, Father, be a reality in our life. Let not this COVID get a hold of our spirit, Lord, in being in fear. Let us live the life that we should live, but always be watchful, always be looking and be in full supplication to you, knowing that, Father, you love us and you care for us. So in our journey, Father, we do not know how many more years now before our Lord Jesus Christ returns. How many more years, Lord? Will you wait until 2026? or 20, 20 years? How long, Father? Truly, the watchmen say, the morning cometh, and the night will follow. More darkness will follow after the morning comes. But we are thankful, Father, we will not be around. When the dawn breaks and the sun rises with healing in his wings, so we will be gone. And then the darkness again will follow. And you will be great darkness upon this earth. Father, bless every one of us now, Lord. Watch every one of us. We commit all the needs of the all that need your healing touch, physically, spiritually, financially, whatever it may be. That we look to you, Father, knowing that you will supply all our need. In Jesus Christ, Father. Lord, we commit all things to you now. In Jesus' name.